translation proper by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O sages, as you did not ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Pariksit. Srila Prabhupada's purport, quite short purport, but it's quite deep purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of the activities of the Lord. And the activities of the Lord are performed in relation with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, the history of the devotees is not different from the history of Lord Krishna's activities. A devotee of Lord Krishna regards both the activities of the Lord and those of His pure devotees on an equal level, for they are all transcendental. Narayan namaskritam, naram cheva narottamam, devim sarasvatim vyasam, tato jayat mudirayat, nasta presu badresu, nityam bhagavati sevayam, bhagavati uttama sloke, bhakti bhavati nashtaki. So, when we speak about Lord Krishna's pastime, it is said that it's like an ocean of nectar. This is mentioned also, Prabhupada comments somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, mentioned somewhere, how the history of the Purana is recorded and is repeated again and again in different universes for the benefit of the conditioned souls. So these pastimes are eternally happening. It's not like they finished. So in that sense, they're like an ocean of nectar. Everything else is like an ocean of salt. So Lord Krishna's pastimes are like an eternal roadshow. So they're going on from one universe to the other. In some earthly planet, in some universe, Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on. So the example is given, like when Krishna takes birth in some universe, immediately in the universe he's taken birth. And in some universe when Krishna is killing a demon, soon after that same demon is, that pastime is taking place in another universe. So in that way the pastimes are eternally going on. And the same thing applies to his avatars or his incarnations. Krishna's incarnations are like oceans and the wave. One cannot count the waves in the ocean. So Krishna's pastime, his avatars are also like that. Example is just like 8 o'clock in the morning. So somewhere 8 o'clock in the morning always happening. So in the same way, Krishna's pastime is eternally going on in some universe. And also the devotees who are part of Krishna's entourage, they also expand with Krishna in different universes. This question is asked to Prabhupada, is it the same Arjuna which expands in the different universes in Krishna's pastimes? And Prabhupada's answer was, it's the same Arjuna, but we cannot understand it with our limited mind. And in In Gopal Champu, he's explained, gives you a little more detail on this aspect, how Krishna married 10 million gopis at one time. And all the Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, they all expanded in all these 10 million forms to in each marriage they were there. Showing how Krishna is not like us. He's He's always complete. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purna Evasya Purna Purna Evasya say that. Although somebody completely emanates from Krishna, he remains a complete. And he's a chief living entity amongst all living entities. So there's one chief living entity, even in the material world, someone has to have a leader. He cannot survive without following a leader. So Krishna is a chief living entity amongst all living entities. And in previous yugas, actually these pastimes are just spoken. No books are there. Because people's memories are so sharp. I mean, also the sages are coming down, demigods are coming down. People's lifespan is longer, the memories are longer, their strength is much, they are much more strong. Like, they used to walk even in places of pilgrimage, you know, like long distances. It wasn't a problem for them. Now this transport is there and things are easy going for people, but in previous times people had much strength in terms of physicality and memory and so from that point of view, chanting the holy name was very difficult for them. They couldn't understand how it's so easy, because they had so much strength behind their abilities on the material level. They had so much strength on the material side that they couldn't understand the spirituality of how powerful the holy name is. So in that sense, the Kali Yuga is a blessing that it says lifespan is shortened, memory is short, people are unlucky, unfortunate, misguided. So, and their only shelter is the holy name. And their pride is crushed in Kali Yuga. In this property explains how a devotee of the Lord regards both the activities of the Lord and those of his pure devotees on equal level, for they are all transcendental. So we can see how even Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, I think Narottam Das Thakur, he mentions how if one understands Lord Chaitanya's associates to be eternal, along with Lord Chaitanya, he also becomes liberated himself. But there's a... Also the... from this, another point is to be taken how... By entering the family of Krishna, you're entering with the devotees. One cannot separate devotees from Krishna. So in order to come to that platform, we have to come to the Madhyamadikari platform. A neophyte devotee cannot understand this. He only sees the deity. He doesn't relate to devotees. So Prabhupada emphasizes one has to come to the Madhyamadikari platform. One should not remain on a neophyte platform. On a neophyte platform, one can fall down. Chances of falling down are more. On the from the Madhyamadikari platform, one can come to Uddhama platform. Chances are much faster. And also, one can also enter the family of Krishna. Uh, So there's one interesting pastime. Radha Vinod Prabhu, I think there were two Radhanath Maharaj disciples who took us on a tour, on a South Indian tour. I forget one of his names, but he mentioned this pastime, quite interesting. This is from one of Rupa Goswami's books, where he explains about the Prabhupada mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Nityananda Balaram's appearance, that section in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He mentioned, he quotes this book. But this devotee explained the pastime how Vedavati, she was the one who was the cause of Ravana's death. And she was doing austerities in the Himalayas. And Ravana saw her, and he tried to capture her as his wife or something. And as Ravana touched her hair, she cut her hair off, and she cursed Ravana that I'll be the cause of your death. And if you molest a woman without her will, if you try, then you'll die. So this Vedavati, she did austerities because Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the 24th millennium, according to Rupa Goswami. So Vedavati was there in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, and she was a Maya Sita who was the cause of Ravana's death. So she did austerities from 24th to the 26th millennium to marry Balaji, to get married to Balaji. So from this pastime, we can see how to bring Krishna to the material world is harder than going back to Godhead. So for those who are following the process which Srila Prabhupada has given, going back to Godhead is a very quick, is a smooth journey if they're following the process. It's not very long. And what to say about going back to Godhead, even within this life you feel the miseries are going less and less. You don't get affected so much with the 3-4 miseries, with the adi-atmic, adi-devic, adi-bhotic, miseries by the body and mind, by other living entities and by natural disturbances. It doesn't affect so much. Because we have that, ultimately, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada comments that whatever happens to a devotee, he doesn't become an enemy of his enemy. Because ultimately a devotee sees that whatever is happening to him, whatever is happening to him, is under Krishna's sanction. So even that enemy cannot do anything without Krishna's will. This is how a devotee sees. So if this is Balar Bhushan, he's commenting also on this point, same thing. He says that if someone does something to you and you don't retaliate, you take it as Krishna's mercy, then your karma is wiped out. Because if you try and retaliate, then you're trying to control, so you get the karma. So this is what Vidura did. He did the same thing. Like, he was giving good instruction to Dhritarashtra, but Duryodhana didn't like it. He asked Vidura to leave the palace. You don't belong here. You know, you're not part of our family. He really chastised him heavily as a Shudra or something. And Vidura could see how the Lord's energy, the external energy, is correcting him in a different way. He see how Duryodhana is going to be correct in a different way. And so Vidura took the positive side that I cannot change the situation in this particular circumstance. Let me just go on pilgrimage. And he took that as Krishna's way of giving him the way, vision, what to do. So, Vidura's approach was, because he was connected to Krishna, he had he was like a spiritual doctor to find out how to help the patient, you know, come to perfection. So he could see for helping Dhritarashtra in this particular circumstance is not easy. But when Dhritarashtra's 100 sons died, everything was taken away from him, then he had nothing to go for. And Dhritarashtra was like hopeless. He had So at that point, Vidura comes and instructs him. So he says, if one wants to be Krishna's well-wisher, one has to help others come to Krishna. And Krishna mentions this in Bhagavad Gita, I think 65, 66 or 64. Yeah, 64, 65, like it mentions, that whoever preaches his message of Bhagavad Gita to others is very dear to me and he'll come back to me. So, now, how to enter these pastimes? If we take the Srimad Bhagavatam like a storybook, then we'll find it hard to enter the pastimes of Krishna. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. So, I'll speak a little bit on some topic. I'll speak about how we can purify our emotions. So, this is Sauhasta Swami. He's speaking on one of his books. So he says, there was an author called Sarpagna. He would describe all day. He made out he was a scholar. Okay, so this is Sauhasta Swami explaining. But within they are being disturbed by emotions. He had a next door neighbor who was a woman. This woman would look in the door to find out what he was doing. One day he could not control his emotions. He got hold of this woman and threw her down the stairs. She had a few injuries and the court ruled that he would have to pay for her to the rest of her life. He did this reluctantly. When she died, he wrote in his diary that this bitch has died. So because he was on the jnana platform, he was trying to not let the emotions out. He was trying to lock them up. So this was what emotions does. So from this example, we can learn that a jnana yoga lacks emotions in closet. In a closet, it does not allow you to express your emotions, because with knowledge, one has to ignore the emotions and emerge into Brahman. Karma yoga alone does not purify the emotions. It gives outlet to emotions, but it does not purify the emotions. Only bhakti yoga can purify the emotions. Ramanujacharya says that that there are positive emotions and negative emotions. One has to avoid negative emotions and take shelter of the positive emotions. How one can distinguish between positive emotions and negative emotions? Positive emotions are emotions which increase your love for Krishna. So, there's a few quotes on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see. Okay. This is from 11:25, 28:5. Although shadows, echoes, and mirages are mere reflections of real substances, they create strong emotions in persons falsely accepting them as real. In the same manner, a conditioned soul is seized by such emotions as fear, lust, anger, and hope because of his illusory perception of himself as a material body, mind, and false ego. By practical example, it is thus shown that even illusory objects may cause highly emotional reactions. Ultimately, our emotions should be absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternal truth. Fear, however, is vanquished when one takes shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. One can then enjoy the pure emotions of liberated life. The words Mad Dharmatma Manorati means that all one's love and affection should be devoted to pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not indicated here that one should try to relish selfless satisfaction in devotional service. Rather, that one should be attracted to the Lord's own satisfaction, which one achieves by faithfully executing the order of the spiritual master in disciplic succession from Lord Krishna himself. Attachment to one's own satisfaction, even with devotional service, is materialistic, whereas attachment to the satisfaction of the Lord is pure spiritual emotion. So, so Prabhupada gives an example on this. He says, you can't approach any woman on the street and say, you have to love me. You have to develop a relationship, you know. Then the love develops after that. The same thing with serving Krishna. You serve Krishna, then gradually your love develops by serving. And there are many examples to show how these books are like time bombs. They actually help people in their lives. Prabhupada said, I'm living in my books. Those who follow my teachings will live with me. So, and Prabhupada also comments in one of his purposes, in the fourth canto, he says, anyone who tries to do devotional service outside of the Krishna consciousness movement, he's living in a hallucination. Just to point out how within the society of devotees, without their mercy, you can't progress on the spiritual path. Example is given, just like in the outside world, if you want to survive, you can't do it with your own strength. You have to have help from people around you. The same thing in spiritual life. To progress in spiritual life, one has to have support from other devotees around one, who, with their blessings, one can progress. So Even advanced devotees, if they take wrong association, they can also lead to deviation. And the example was Akrura and Kirtavarma. Prabhupada comments in the Krishna book about these two. So Akrura, in Gopal Chambu, it gives more detail on this topic. Like, it says how Akrura took the Shama Thakur jewel. Because Satadanya, he's the one who had killed Satrajit and took the Shama Thakur jewel. And Akrura is the one who actually instigated the killing of Satrajit. He said, Akrura told Kirtavarma that, Satadanya that Prashena is the one, the way that Prashena died, because Satyajit wasn't ready to give this jewel to Krishna, same thing should happen to Satyajit. So he's the one who instigated the killing of Satyajit. And when Satadanya got the jewel, he knew that Krishna and Balaram are going to kill him. So he was trying to give the jewel away to Akrura and Kirtavarma, but they weren't willing to take it because they knew that if they took it, the Krishna Balaram, they didn't want to get into trouble with Krishna Balaram. They knew that they couldn't defeat Krishna Balaram. So then Satadanya gave the jewel to Akrura. And Akrura took the jewel to Kashi. And when he was in Kashi, he became a follower of Lord Shiva. And from this jewel, he was getting a lot of wealth. And Krishna didn't want to actually disturb Akrura in a way that would put him off in his spiritual life, because Krishna could see he was a Sakam devotee. So Krishna allowed him to keep the jewel, but because rumors were going around, then Krishna asked him to show the jewel to everyone in Dwarka. So in Gopal Chambu, he says that actually Akrura didn't get complicated because of the curse of the gopis, because he actually hurt the feelings of gopis by not pacifying them. But he got Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. But he got implicated by wrong association, bad association. And Kirtavarma, he got contaminated by taking association of Kamsa. So we can see even one has to be careful in the devotional life, how one can give one's association to others to uplift them, but one should not come down to their level if that person is not advanced. So this is the understanding behind that. So because spiritual life is like a razor's edge, it's very, very delicate. If you're cutting, you're not, don't pay attention, you can cut yourself. So we can see in Krishna's pastimes, even the devotees, they're very careful how they deal with others in different ways. When we associate with, what does it mean to be part of the association of advanced devotees? It means that we should be immersing ourselves in Krishna. That's the meaning of associating with advanced devotees. So even though we may not have that association at the present time, sometimes we don't. People can't get it sometimes. So reading of the scriptures is important. By reading scriptures, in time Krishna will send the advanced association. Because Srimad Bhagavatam covers everything. It covers everything from relationships to emotions to family issues. It covers everything because it covers about dynasties, kings. It explains about different instances which has happened in different universes, different millenniums. And all these things are given. And also is given the high understanding about our relationship with Krishna. So it's very important to read Srimad Bhagavatam, because by reading Srimad Bhagavatam it qualifies one to go back to Godhead. Although in Bhagavad Gita everything is given in summary, is there in Bhagavad Gita in a summarized form. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains more detail. In the teaching of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada says that this is why we have the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam classes in the morning, Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, to train spiritual leaders, to make everyone a spiritual leader. Without hearing and chanting, one cannot become a spiritual leader. And Srila Prabhupada gives another point in the teaching of Queen Kunti, saying that, explaining how according to how you are free from enviousness and jealousy, according to that level, you are free from that. According to that, you are in the spiritual world. So you can judge yourself whether you are in the spiritual world or not, just from this analysis of seeing how you must free yourself from jealousy and envy. So we can see how this Krishna consciousness movement is actually also part of Krishna's pastimes to help people go back to Godhead. So if we follow this process in the lecture, one of the lectures I heard Prabhupada saying how if you follow this sadhana bhakti, you follow this process of getting up in the morning program, Mangal Aarti, and then chanting 16 rounds, hearing Bhagavatam, Guru Puja, like this, this will qualify you for renunciation. And then from this, spiritual strength will come. And then like this, from that spiritual platform, you can help others also. Prabhupada gave an example in one of the lectures saying that before coming, he explained about the Western people coming, he said, you had no qualification. But now you're practicing the process, you can see there's a difference in you're getting qualification. So this Krishna consciousness is a scientific process that simply by following it, you're getting direct mercy of Krishna. So it's the only thing is one should follow it with sincerity. There's an English saying, God helps those who help themselves. So we have to be sincere and simple-hearted. And Prabhupada gives an example in the Bhagavad Gita about, in one of the Prabhupada, he gives an example of the sparrow who tried to get her eggs back. And Garuda was very pleased. He came and he offered to help sparrow get the eggs back. In the same way, if we are sincere in our spiritual practice, then God will help those who are in their sincerity. God helps those who help themselves like that. So we can see this title is titled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. So we can see how, because Parikshit Maharaj was on the high platform of Mahabhagavata, he wasn't affected by the curse. He could have counteracted the curse, but he didn't. He took it as Krishna's mercy. So we can learn from this how difficulties will come in our life of a devotee. Because the material world is a difficult place. It's made like that. You can't avoid difficulties. But we have to learn from the life of Prahlad Maharaj how we have to be tolerant of these difficulties. Just tolerate the difficulties. And depend on Krishna. And difficulties will go away. So we can see how the difficulties we are facing is not much compared to what difficulties what Srila Prabhupada went through. Our difficulties are very insignificant. So we just have to have strong faith and be with devotees and follow the process. Then everything will become easy in time. Any comments or questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a very nice class. I just have two questions. The first one is, when Krishna married all the gopis at the same time, what was their internal mood? Like you said that spiritual emotion is when you satisfy Krishna and you please Krishna. So did Krishna also want to marry the gopis, or the gopis wanted to marry Krishna? And the second question is, you know, you were speaking about neophytes and falling down. So can you please explain, like, what does it mean to fall down? Does it mean like you're living in the Brahmacharini ashram and then you go out and you fall down? Or like you're practicing four regulative principles and then you go out and have chocolate? Is that fall down? What is fall down? Because there's like many versions of down.
Let me answer this. Okay. You finished or?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So the first one is with the gopis. Even Lord Chaitanya glorifies the gopis for their love for Krishna. Even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita it's mentioned like this. They're the highest level of surrender. Because example is given when Krishna had a headache. Narada Muni went to many devotees and they weren't giving the dust to Krishna to relieve his headache. But the gopis gave the dust. And Narada Muni told them, you don't mind going to hell for Krishna by giving your dust? And Gopi said, no, we are happy to go to hell if he's going to please Krishna. So in that sense, gopis are the highest level of surrender. They weren't seeking their own satisfaction. They wanted to please Krishna. So um, Prabhupada comments in one of his letters, he says that this, to understand about Krishna's pastime with the gopis, one has to understand Krishna in tattva. That Krishna has six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, and fame. Yeah. So, unless one understands from this point of view who Krishna is, one will misunderstand the pastime with the gopis. Krishna is not an ordinary living entity like us. He is the Supreme Person. And how just to enhance Krishna's pastimes, it shows how Yogamaya created illusory husbands for the gopis, just to enhance Krishna's pastimes. The gopis, they were feeling that they were not pure enough to be with Krishna now because they had their husbands and like this. So Yogamaya, just to show the point to them that actually their love was with Krishna, Yogamaya calls Duvasa Muni. She called Duvasa Muni. And Duvasa Muni took the gopis outside the Vrindavan somewhere with Krishna and Yogamaya and Sridham. And Duvasa Muni created fire from his mystic power. And he told the gopis, I want you to enter this fire. Just to show your purity, that you didn't have any husbands except Krishna. The gopis entered this fire, nothing happened to them. Just like Sita Devi, you know. She entered the fire, nothing happened to her. Same thing with Krishna wanted to show this point to the gopis in the same way. So the gopis had no intention other than serving Krishna for his own pleasure. This is the first point. Is that okay with that? I mean, that's the answer coming to see how purity the gopis had, that they had no hidden intention except to please Krishna. Concerning the in Jeva Dharma is explained that unless you take association of advanced devotees, you cannot you remain on your neophyte platform. This process we are following in the temple, if you're following it properly, it'll bring you to the advanced platform. If you study Prabhupada's books, you discuss with devotees, you preach Krishna consciousness, you avoid 10 offenses to chanting the holy name, so it'll bring you to advanced platform very fast. A neophyte is someone who just sees Krishna in the temple. He doesn't see Krishna anywhere else. That's a neophyte. An advanced devotee sees Krishna everywhere. So we have to learn to see Krishna everywhere, within every situation of our life. And Prabhupada says in his lecture, he says, until one has reached that platform of seeing Krishna within and without everything, one should learn. One should offer respects to everyone. But as soon as one sees Krishna within everything, he's already respecting everyone just by his giving respect to everyone. He's giving them just by his honoring them. He's giving respect to them automatically. Example is there, like Lord Shiva, he was in meditation, right? And Daksha came in and Lord Shiva didn't stand up. But he was in meditation of Sankarsan. But he automatically respected Daksha. So like that, from this we have to learn to respect everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. So if we can do that, then we come to advanced platform. But unfortunately, in the material world, people are too materially attached. And there are many neophytes also. So as preachers, we have to bring the neophytes to advanced platform. I think Prabhupada mentioned, like, there was an instance with Prabhupada, there were some leaflets given out, you know, some Mayavadi, you gave some leaflets out, and those leaflets came to Prabhupada. So what did Prabhupada do? He gave the leaflets out to the devotees, and he put prasadam on the leaflet plates. He made put prasadam on the leaf, on those flyers. So in this way, the Mayavadi got benefit by getting prasadam served on the plate, on those flyers. So then that's an advanced devotee. He tries to help others come to Krishna. He tries to give the benefit of others coming to Krishna slowly by engaging whatever they give in Krishna's service. A neophyte doesn't do that. He just wants his own prestige. He doesn't want anyone else around him. So this is the point. Any other comments or questions? Okay, Prayojan. Okay.
It reminds me of when Satsarup Das Goswami did the Book of Nectar, he got the experiences of Prabhupada, and he wrote this little book called Prabhupada Nectar, went to devotees of Prabhupada, or his disciples. And one of them was, dear Prabhupada, look, I can't think of Krishna. You know, I can think of you. And and then Prabhupada, he answered, you know, so which is right? And he just said, none different. His devotee, Krishna, none different.
Interesting. Prabhupada says the same thing here.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay.
Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.